It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often, waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road, just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423. And hello once again, it's Boomer Tech Radio. I'm Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi.
Analog Living, Digital World. Welcome to the program with goodies, gadgets, gizmos, and of course, tech news that you can use. Brought to you each and every week by Advanced Automotive of Reading, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 530-244-4423. The phone number to call. Cody and Tim, busy folks, but especially with all these fires, because they take care of a lot of, they don't take care of the big trucks, but all the smaller vehicles that like the battalion chiefs and supervisors and maintenance people drive around.
Pickups, one-tons,
all those, you know, up to one-ton
like
size. Yeah. See a lot of those green fleet rigs in there, as the Forest Service calls them.
Mm-hmm. See a lot of ambulances and stuff in there,
ambulances,
too.
Other service vehicles. Major Appliance Center has their vehicles in there in for service. So that's the kind of folks. These are people who, you know, depend on their vehicles. You know, you can't have it breaking down out there in the middle of nowhere. And that's why they take it to Advanced Automotive. Alrighty, not a great, super busy week, although the iPhone, everybody's all over the new iPhone, the extra big one. Some things to talk about on that, but not enough is known yet to really be able to talk about the new iPhone a whole lot, but there certainly is some interest. It's an expensive one, of course. Also, the Galaxy Note 9, of course, $1,200 for that pup. So
wow.
For a device that you would probably have to get rid of in 2 years, that's getting
maybe
a little steep.
Why would you have to get rid of it in 2 years?
Well, at 2 years, a cell phone, you know, the smartphone is starting to feel, you know, a little bit of its age. Now, you can stretch that out, but when you get around that 3-4 year mark, now your smartphone's really starting to feel old. So people are starting to balk at that, too, those extremely high price tags for the top-end phones.
Yeah, it's going to drive people either into the used market of you know, earlier models or over to another company just on price alone. And Apple thinks they're going to be able to do a landslide business with a $1,200 phone?
I think that the iPhone X, after the initial purchase by all the fanboys, sorry if I'm insulting anyone, sales kind of flattened out a bit. You know, because people just don't have, there's a segment of people that has that kind of disposable income to drop over $1,000 on a phone every couple of years. Not most of us, though. We got to stretch them pups out.
Yeah, who can afford that? I mean, that'd be like buying a new TV every other year. That's a bit crazy.
Yeah.
Actually, you can pick up a TV cheaper than that.
Yeah. So we are we're looking at a 4K TV, but it's going to be a while before we pick one up. But now, there's a couple of years ago, didn't make sense to buy a 4K TV. So we'll do a segment on the show in the not-too-distant future about the features that you want to look for. And, of course, just face the fact that as soon as you buy it, it's obsolete. You know, just get used to that. Do you really need a super smart TV? Not necessarily, because if you've got something like the Amazon Fire Cube, which has now become our central viewing device, you don't really need a super smart TV. And the Fire Cube adds that voice functionality, although it's kind of funny.
It does get a little confused, or it responds to stuff on the show.
Oh, yeah, that there was a, what was the, there was a line of dialogue that it came out very similar to the A name.
Right. It could be, you know, if you listen, kind of, sort of sounded like the A name, I forget what the phrase was because it was kind of far removed. It wasn't easy. It's not easy to remember.
One of the producers here, one of the new producers here at the radio station we flagship at here, KCNR, just sent, she likes to send out the funny emoji memes and stuff like that. If your eyes hurt after you drink coffee, you should take the spoon out of the cup.
Okay. That was an interesting digression for the topic.
Well, I had to turn off my phone. It whistled at me. You know, we all have our interesting little ringtones and stuff like that. Big news, of course, this week. And there is a tech component because the major media revolves on tech. Now, a couple of things. Early this week, we took part in the 9/11 observance here in Reading at the giant American flag. And what was interesting is that the field reporter from the TV station had a backpack. And she had a little, you know, digital type video camera. And she plugged the camera into the backpack. Then she grabs her cell phone and picks that up and talks to the, and puts the thing in her ear. So she's got feedback from the TV station. She plugs in the microphone, and she was live on the air wirelessly back to the TV station. So think about this. When 9/11 happened, it took an entire truck to do what this young lady walked onto the place with, just carrying on her back.
With a backpack, yep. Well, think about how remotes used to be for a radio station. And if you didn't have line of sight, you were kind of out of commission.
Yeah, or you had to buy a very expensive telephone line.
Right, or...
That was custom for,
you know,
for radio broadcast.
Have some kind of connection via radio towers or something that was pretty expensive.
Yeah, well, you had what was called a MARTI unit, because that was... MARTI is sort of... sort of the Kleenex in the radio world when it comes to remote equipment, and those things are $7,000-$8,000 back then.
The Kleenex.
Well, as a generic term,
oh,
Marty.
They're called
Marty. Yeah,
okay.
Marty unit.
I was a little lost there. I was having trouble drawing a connection between Kleenex and radio equipment.
Yeah,
gotcha. A generic name.
Yes, yeah, it's a generic
no
name
kind
for
of
remote
nose
pickup
tissue,
gear. Yeah.
No matter what kind of nose tissue you're using, we often refer to it as Kleenex. Whether
yeah, so
it's Kleenex
the
brand
wireless
or not.
Link equipment was generally called a Marty because they made most of them very expensively. Well, now cell phones and things like that and IP-based equipment, internet protocol-based equipment, have put that sort of thing onto the back burner. And now, of course, you can go on to Facebook Live or Periscope or something like that just with a tablet, albeit not with the sophistication. But there is equipment out there to put on a pretty pro-looking show with stuff you can pack around in a suitcase.
Pretty amazing. And when it comes to audio, that's particularly easy.
Matter of fact, next week's show, if all goes according to plan, let me know how that works, should be live from Oregon, we hope.
Yep. Through the miracle of electronics.
Through the miracle of electronics,
as
yes.
A friend of ours
we certainly hope. If not, we'll you'll hear the show again. Anyway, the big news this week, aside, and like I said, there's a tech aspect to this because of all the field reporting going on, the big hurricane that is just beating up on the East Coast, not as badly as was originally feared, but it's still pretty rough. This is Florence?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And that sparked a discussion. If you ever want to hear Brenda yell, let some news anchor say the words, hurricane force.
Or hurricane force gusts. That's the one that really can trip you out.
Hurricane force winds.
Yeah, wind gusts. That's just not right. So when you think about what a force is and what a wind is, the two don't match. units of wind speed, of course, are knots or miles per hour, kilometers per hour, feet per second, you know, meters per second, whatever you want to put on there. It's a distance over time. Whereas the units of force is, you know, force equals mass times acceleration. It's the amount of energy, it's often expressed in what are called joules, and the amount of energy it takes to move a kilogram, a meter per second,
yeah,
or something like that.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
It's a completely different thing. So I looked at the hurricane page, and they have this wind from the National Hurricane Center, the National Weather Service's NOAA's National Hurricane Center, and they have one graphic on there that has to do with wind speed probabilities and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And in there they put on the wind speed probabilities, they have down on the legend or the warnings in surface wind or something like that. I forget which one it is. Yeah, it's the warnings in surface wind. They have sustained winds. They have hurricane force, and they have tropical storm force winds. So I sent him a note and included another meteorologist that I know in the business. And I haven't heard back from the National Hurricane Center, which is no surprise, given they're a little bit busy. And I just said, hey, how come you use this phrase when it's not compatible when you talk about wind speed, especially sustained wind speeds? It's not an acceleration type thing or whatever. It's not a force, it's a wind speed. So the reply I got, though, from the other meteorologist made perfect sense, which is really interesting. Everyone's heard of the Beaufort scale. Some people call it the Buford scale, but that's an incorrect pronunciation.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Admiral Beaufort of the British Navy would be rolling in his grave, I'm sure. But back in 1704, as early as that, what they called the Great Storm of 1703, from the Great Storm of 1703, a guy named Daniel Defoe suggested a scale of winds that was like 11 categories, actually 12, considering the fact it went from 0 to 11, and describing it using words normally found in the English language. Well, they didn't have wind measuring equipment in the day.
Right.
So they had to come up with something that was descriptive.
Mm-hmm.
And so they used basically an empirical as opposed to a numerical.
So a certain level of effects got a number, just
right.
As earthquakes get a number assigned, tornadoes get a number assigned based on their effects, not on the absolute measurement of the energy, right?
Right, exactly. And fast forward to 1759, and that's when a British civil engineer actually designed an early anemometer because he was interested in studying windmill designs. So in 1801, then, that's this is quite a few decades in between these things, a gentleman of the Honorable East India Company, and they sailed a lot of cargo around the world, as well as passengers.
Commerce,
but they
yeah.
did, yeah, they were a commercial company. He calibrated a list of the common terms in miles per hour and feet per second, but no one else seems to have tried to do that. So then in January of 1806, just a few years later, Commander Francis Beaufort of HMS Woolwich wrote in his logbook that he would use a scale of 0 to 13 and gave descriptive names to that and that sort of thing. Beaufort was kind of a leader in the Navy at the time of being able to do that. He was influenced by another individual. And so ultimately what happened to Beaufort's scale is that it got redesigned a couple of times. In 1810, when he was aboard HMS, His Majesty's sloop Blossom, he defined in his logbook, so he actually put some numbers to this. And what he did is that relative to the vessel he was in, he assigned these numbers, gave it something about how fast the ship would move and something about setting sails at a certain thing, you know, double reef topsails or, you know, close reef topsails and whatever. And my very favorite of this scale is number 12. Remember, there's 13 because it starts with zero. Number 12 is hurricane, and he labeled them as forces. that which no canvas could withstand. And so what's interesting about this is that it depends on the vessel that you're on mm-hmm. as to what some of these definitions would mean. So the whole thing about the naval vessels was that they had to have enough speed to catch the bad guy, their chase, or if they put too much sail on the ship, it'd create too much stress and they would lose spars and masts.
Right.
In which case they would lose the chase by default, because now they're out of commission.
And if you lost your propulsion, now you're at the mercy of the other guy.
Exactly. So, you know, you got to go forward even further. That was in 1831 that Beaufort really refined his scale, and he submitted the official one to the Lordships of the Admiralty for, you know, adoption by the Royal Navy. And so he just adapted these things. He really didn't come up with anything particularly new. Most of the evolutions of the scale were adapted to things. And so as time went on, now we have numbers attached to those Beaufort force definitions, mm-hmm. of which, of course, hurricane is one at 74 miles an hour plus sustained winds. And so there's a connection there.
All righty. So these are ways to, if you don't happen to have an anemometer, did I pronounce that correctly?
Correct, yes.
All right. Handy, or what they call a kestrel, which is a handheld measuring device, you can guess the wind, you can make a pretty good approximation of the wind speed by observing its
correct.
Effects.
Correct. And so because this is a nautical origin thing, the next step in things was that it was adopted by the commercial people, commercial mariners, merchant mariners, to describe the state of the sea.
Right.
Because wind has a huge effect on the wind, the waves. And
as,
the size
as
of the
we
waves.
Have discovered more than
yes, the size of waves.
The
and you know, foam and spray and all that kind of stuff. And then over the years, it's been adopted to use on land and the kinds of tree motions or damage that occurs on land.
Or what smoke land. Does. Or...
well, yeah, there's...
a calm wind, the smoke rises vertically.
Right. And then after that, they talk about wind felt on the face and leaves rustle and, you know, big limbs, large branches in motion and things like that for the landlubbers. But it originally started in a nautical, as mm-hmm. a lot of things
as
have.
As many things in our culture did come from the British
right.
Navy.
And so that's where hurricane force or tropical storm force comes from. Because of the definition of the wind speeds that are now associated with the original Beaufort force deal. But don't say hurricane force or storm force or gale force, wind gusts. That makes no sense.
Speed is a better. Hurricane speed
hurricane
or hurricane velocity.
Strength, or hurricane speed, yes, would be better. Velocity implies a direction, so,
you know,
speed works.
Spoken like a scientist.
Yes. So I just thought that was really interesting and a bit of history in how, even though this is analog technology, eventually, because they didn't have technology. They didn't have an anemometer
right,
to start
right.
with. And so then when they got that, they were able to refine it further and further. And now the current Beaufort scale that we use today, and a lot of people are certainly familiar with,
if you're a nautical type
particularly if
type
you're
person.
A mariner. Yep, that's a pretty common thing in the marine world. And there was so if you Google, you know, Beaufort scale, you'll find lots of things to read about. And the other thing that was amusing in this article that I read about the history of it, there were some amusing scales. So. For some fun things, like at Force Zero, children want dad to fly the new kite. And at Force Four, the side gate bangs in night if someone forgot to put the bolt on it. At Force Five, old gentlemen's hats blow away. At Force Eight, car steering seems to have gone wrong. At Force Nine, old ladies' hats blown away. And at Force 10, the clothesline with newly washed sheets takes off. At Force 11, old ladies and old gentlemen blown away. The people, which is pretty true. It's hard to stand up in Force 11 winds.
Yeah, yeah.
And at Force 12, children want dad to fly the new kite. So there's a little bit of fun in this, too.
Very good.
This is great, too. The cruising yachtsman scale on a force of 0 to 1. The helmsman's version is drifting conditions. The cruise version is boredom. So it's pretty fun.
So last week we talked about the smoke detect, well, the air pollution
right.
index and the detectors that you could buy right off the internet and tie them into this web from a company called Purple Air.
Their sensors, by the way, are extremely affordable.
Yeah, they're like $250
businesses,
bucks or
something. Businesses,
schools,
you know, anything like that can.
Well, they've cropped up around this area ever since the fires. They've cropped up around here like mushrooms after a rain. There were only half a dozen in the range of the map. If you go to purpleair.com and zoom in on Northern California, before the car fire, there were only a few. Now they're everywhere. And these schools have purchased these things so they can monitor air at their location. And the more of these sensors that are out, the better look. Now, interesting, there's a whole pile of these things in China.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
They're affordable. And, of course, Chinese air quality is
notoriously bad.
Right. Our worst day in here, if you were in the area, is an average, you know, it's pretty much an everyday thing in some places in China. Extremely unhealthy. What's really cool about the purpleair.com site is just click, when it comes up, click on map in the top left, and it'll bring up a global thing. Just zoom in to Northern California.
To your area of interest.
Whatever area of interest you have. And maybe you're traveling to China and you want to know what's going on there.
Yeah.
And if you leave it on your screen, it automatically updates.
Yeah, every 80 seconds it takes a new reading.
Yeah, it has new readings, and boom, there it is. It'll come up with stuff.
Mm-hmm. Now, on the same token, speaking of weather, used to be the only weather stations around were either at the airport or maybe down at the fire station, and you got a reading once a day, which didn't tell you a lot. Now, thanks to outfits like Weather Underground, ordinary people can buy these weather stations and put them up at home. Now, most people don't put them up in the precise method needed to get an accurate reading, or the equipment is not super accurate. However, you're not interested in the precise number as much as you are in trends and the overall look. Because if you look at the entire, as I'm showing Brenda on the screen right now, you see numbers ranging from 68 to 83, but you get a pretty good idea of what's happening temperature-wise and the variations in our area.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So you see the trends.
Yep. And sometimes when you have an outlier in that they're in some kind of microclimate type thing or something, or maybe their sensor's not working real good, whatever station they've got plugged into the system.
Add more data to the stream, you can get better picture of what's going on.
You get a better idea. You know, and maybe not everybody calibrates those, but at least you can get a good idea of what's happening. I want to backtrack to Purple Air just a second. Purple Air, that's a... The color scheme that's used in air quality is a standard now. If it's a green, it's good. Yellow's not so great, but it's okay. When you get into the orange and then you finally get to the burgundy, purple-ish colors, that's really bad.
Yeah.
And so that's true everywhere. That's a standard that's been developed in the air quality world to present to the public. Some concept about what the air quality is.
And there's something about it. If you can't breathe, you're going to turn purple, right?
Oh, yeah, well, probably true. Maybe that's where it came from, right?
Yeah. So those of you who are here in Northern California, this too will pass. It's just been a rough summer as far as this fire stuff goes. But you have tools now to get a better idea of what's going on around you without necessarily having to wait for the news to come on. Interesting thing, though, as we get ready to go into the break, people were waiting to evacuate their neighborhoods because they were waiting for the alert to sound. People, if you see fire, go.
Yeah. There you go, right
Don't
there.
Don't wait, go. Boomer Tech Radio. We'll be back after the bottom of the hour break.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
It might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort. At 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive. Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC. You know, this time of year in Shasta County, the need to heat your home is probably the last thing on your mind, right? Well, my friend SSD Oil says this is the ideal time to trade in your old monitor heater on a spanking new Toyotomi and save yourself up to $250. Your qualifying model monitor heater earns you a huge allowance on a Toya stove that will keep you warm and cozy all winter long. This deal is as hot as a Redding sidewalk in summer. SSD Oil, 241-1167, 241-1167.
Tell your boss and your mom that you're busy on September 29th because you're going to the Red Sun Festival to rock out while helping Car Fire Relief. It's a full-volume rock fest on the Reading Civic Auditorium lawn with Floaters, Lit, Candlebox, and headliners AWOL Nation. $5 from every ticket, all, yes, all the festival's net proceeds, plus donations from the bands, are going to Car Fire Relief efforts. Check out RedSunFestival.com. It's four rock acts in one day with plenty of bars, food trucks, and vendors. Every ticket matters. If the festival sells out, that's $250,000 for Car Fire Relief. It's rock all day Saturday, September 29th, and country on Sunday, September 30th. Grab tickets at RedSunFestival.com or the Reading Civic Auditorium box office. Sponsored in part by Dutch Bros, 10 Barrel Brewing Company, and Budweiser.
Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading. On the web at advancedautoreading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneview. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive. Welcome back. Boomer Tech Radio. Of course, the tech news you can use each and every week. We bring you goodies, gadgets, and gizmos and talk about the interesting things.
In the tech news. That we hope you can use.
So, the new iPhone. You know, one of the big things that people had a fit about is that in order to be able to put a camera on the front of the phone so you can shoot those selfies that clog up the internet, is you have to have a place to put the camera. And that entails a notch. In other words, your edge-to-edge display has a little, what do they call that in the, a squircle.
What?
A squircle. It's that little in the top of your phone display on the iPhone. It's the Galaxy doesn't do that, but on the iPhone, the display has cut out of it sort of a notch. Well, and that became a big thing.
There's kind of one on our phones. It's not on the display, but it's on the face of the phone where the projected screen projector doesn't cover that
up. Well, part of the image goes up, you know, because Apple wants, you know, it's an edge-to-edge display because Galaxy came out with that first, right? Samsung with their edge-to-edge display. And so they're always playing the one-upmanship.
You can't get anything other than that now, but I don't like the beveled edges because you can't protect it in a phone case.
Yeah.
Very well. They're not building phone cases that deal with that very well. But anyways, I digress.
Yeah, in fact, my screen protector has a couple of noticeable little cracks. Better the screen protector than the screen.
Indeed. That's why you have screen protectors.
So, big deal with the notch, because some people just, I don't want a notch. Then you can't have the FaceTime camera, because nobody's figured out how to get a camera that can look through the pixels on the phone yet. Come on. At least it doesn't have a hump on the top of it or something like that.
You could turn your phone around for a while, I guess, and have the backside facing you, but then you can't see what's on the screen.
Eventually we'll have a technology that'll have a roll-up phone with a camera built in it. We're not quite there yet. That only shows up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., okay?
Right?
Yeah, or something along those lines. That the technology you see on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. isn't here. Same with Tony Stark stuff. So why people get all tied up in a knot over these things is beyond me. It's a design. It's a poor design. Well, you try designing a phone. A lot of people do. So, interesting thing, though, Apple is so sensitive about the notch that their new ad campaign, if you look at the images shown of the three models of phone, they are composed in such a way that the flagship and midline model you don't see a notch. Well, how did it disappear? Because it's on a black, because the background in that particular part of the screen is black. And on
gotcha.
The cheap phone,
if you put a colorful, you know, full screen,
then you see the notch.
Then you see the notch. Oh, that is funny.
Yeah. So,
gotcha. Because we have one, but on the Samsungs, but the display does not go that far.
Yeah. So the things
funny.
That people get wrapped up around, especially kind of overpriced phone. But you think about we say overpriced. However, it's a computer you stuff in your pocket.
I think this is why I'm working on retraining my tongue to say communicator. Homage to Star Trek.
The comm. Yeah.
Yes. The comm. Where's my comm? I like that. Because we do a lot of communicating on it, but very little of it is a phone.
Yeah.
So calling it a smartphone seems a bit...
It's the communicator and tricorder all in. We already passed up the flip open communicator.
We got
the tricorder going too. Which is kind of cool.
I used to have a Star Trek sound effects thing on my little app on my screen. I think I don't have it on this tablet. It's pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, that's funny. Yeah, smartphones. $1,200. I mean, wow, you can do a lot with $1,200. And the thing about it is, you lose it, you break it, you drop it.
You are out of it.
You're out a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they don't repair some of this stuff. So I think that our reaction to these things is often not unusual. There's a lot of people that say they wouldn't, you know, pay $800 for a device. Even they get something simpler and more affordable, and I understand that because you don't not everybody needs.
Your brother didn't need a flagship, so we got him a J2.
Yeah, it's like
the Samsung J2,
$250 or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's working just fine for him. So you know it's just interesting. I don't know if Apple's going to be able to impress enough people with it at that price point for it to just fly off the shelves. There are those, of course, that have to
There are people who will have to have the latest sticking out of their back pocket. Really?
But now past generation of iPhone is still a very serviceable device.
Yeah. Interesting article here. This one, by the way, all of the stuff that we talk about here on Boomer Tech Radio shows up on our Flipboard magazine. You can download the Flipboard app for your iOS or Android device, even on your PC, although that kind of doesn't work quite as well. But on your Android or Apple device, you can you can download the Flipboard app, pick your topics, and then please, because you heard it here, subscribe to Boomer Tech Radio Magazine, and you'll see the articles that we flip through, henceforth the name, and get ideas from. So we look at the article and say, okay, this is what's trending, and we talk about it on that basis.
Import tech news we think that is relevant, interesting, different, and, you know, we could be wrong, but that's okay. If you're looking for some tech news, it's just an aggregator way to go through. There are many other interesting things on Flipboard as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so perhaps you would be interested in looking at that in addition to Boomer Tech.
So from the site New Atlas comes a story about using drones to make a canopy over a crowd to protect people from the sun. Now, the trouble with putting a canopy up is when the sun moves, the canopy no longer works.
Except this way.
This is a research project. This thing is not out on the market. This is from the University of Stuttgart. Flying robots can give rise to intelligent architecture. The adaptive canopy changes its configuration as the sun moves through the sky. So real interesting. Now, we've already seen technology like this used in that famous Intel Olympic display, where you had the drones with the lights on them that were making the shapes. It was like
fantastic.
Living, you know, programmable fireworks.
Right, the swarm thing. It was really cool. I think that was the best part of the whole Olympics, period. It was the opening ceremony drones. Now, what's interesting about this is that it's not just, I'm thinking, okay, how does a drone have enough time, if you will, in its battery to hold a canopy aloft? Well, that's not exactly how this idea is working. They actually do have vertical
pylons.
Is a good way to have stanchions to hold the thing up. But what the drones do is that they shift and morph into a shape that covers a sunny spot. I think that's how that works.
Mm-hmm.
I could see something robot-based where you have little robots on the ground that move the whole canopy somewhere, and maybe move slowly to follow the sun so that wherever the sun is shining, then the robots will take the shade.
Yeah. So interesting. Drones are showing up in construction, logging up, because right now helicopter logging is the only way to get logs out of extremely remote areas where you can't push in a road and the terrain is pretty much straight up or straight
it's
down.
It's pretty steep, yeah. Some would argue that why are you logging that in the first place? But
in some cases, some of these trees need to be removed. We're working at thinning out some of those hills so they don't burn quite as regularly or readily. So what's the practical method for removing the stuff that you cut? Right now it's helicopters. Helicopters are not cheap. This recent project up on Highway 299 west of Redding did a lot of helicopter logging. These things, $9,000-$10,000 per hour of flight time, and then they're on
Yeah, at least.
Then they're sitting on the ground being repaired some hours for every hour that they're in the air.
Yes. A lot of maintenance.
How much more sense would it make to have a scalable drone system to where you put each drone by itself can only lift a relatively small amount of payload, but if you have several of them working in concert, it's like Gulliver being tied down by the Lilliputians.
Exactly.
The same idea there.
Right. Yep, so, or spider web strength, you know, by mini strands, et cetera.
And I know there's people who can say, yes, but these could be programmed to chase people around and stuff. Yes, and okay, I get that. But every time a new technology comes along, people want to be fearful of it. Well, okay, that's your thing. Let's see here. Oh, now this is straight out of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is kind of our current...
Well, that's what we're watching now for a little bit. Rewatching, actually.
We're rewatching in context with the rest of the Marvel Comics universe. Yes, I'm a geek. What can I say?
Well, actually, I'm not a geek, and it's still interesting. So because of all the connections that are made, you go, oh, now I get the reference. What amazes me about that, I'm going to digress here, is somebody is keeping all this stuff straight.
Yeah.
They had this storyline, and these things were, they're all connected. Sometimes
between
well
the movies
ahead
and the series.
All connected. Who keeps track of this stuff? Now, that would be a geek.
That's somebody's job, yes, is to keep all these things straight.
All those details straight. I mean, I just enjoy the show most of the time.
So this is something right out of James Bond or whatever. The Mueller mic will let U.S. military personnel make radio calls right from their teeth.
That's amazing.
This is communicating in combat could be as simple as speaking into the microphone in your mouth. The U.S. Department of Defense has sealed a multi-million-dollar investment into a futuristic two-way communication system dubbed Mueller Mic, slated for use by the U.S. Air Force. It's a mouthpiece that snaps onto your teeth.
Yeah.
Has a wireless rechargeable battery.
It's not like they replace teeth.
Right. Waterproof microphone and a bone conduction speaker built in. And then there's a send and receive loop that sits on the outside of the body. So this is pretty cool stuff.
Right. So this is the concept is not unlike if you plug your ears. Your ear is no longer able to actually hear very well, but you can hear yourself speak perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
And why is that? Is because bone conduction is the sound waves, the vibrations through the bones in your head play a role.
Yeah.
And this is sort of a huge modern upgrade to what they used to call Vox or voice activated. Mm-hmm. They had this in World War II where the aviators would wear
a throat mic,
and all they had to do was speak, and it would be live. In other words, you didn't have to hit
a
button.
Well, that's two different technologies. Yeah, the Vox.
Well, it is, but it's the same kind of concept where all you have to do is talk, and the microphone works.
Yeah.
It's the same concept.
So rather than having a microphone out there that's picking up everything around you, it's just picking up what you're saying, be inside, you know, it might... Now, there's going to obviously be some noise filtering and things like that, and you probably don't want to be eating a bag of cashews just before you start transmitting.
Yeah, that's the whole thing is what about eating in this thing, right?
But rather than a mic that's tying up one hand or a boom mic that's swinging around in front of your face.
Or if you're an emergency worker where you are like a firefighter that's wearing a full mask that would...
you can see scuba divers using short-range comms.
Full-mask scuba diving, and that's one of the things underwater. They do have underwater comms now, full-mask scuba masks, but a full-face scuba mask, excuse me. That kind of takes the fun out of it, actually, I think. Not being able to talk underwater is fun. You can develop, you know, you have your little Etch-a-Sketch slate and your hand signals and stuff like that. But now more and more you see that. But masks can muffle things, and I've heard firefighters talking through their masks on the radio, and it is difficult to understand. So this would be a better deal, be able to tie this into a radio and have much more clear speech.
Yep. A couple of years ago, social media was going to be how everybody got the word out about everything, including their products, to the point of annoyance. In fact, if you try to look at, read down your Facebook, what do you see? You see a whole lot of advertising. Systems like Google will scan your email and then serve up advertisements based on web pages that you have looked at or content of your email. That's a little creepy. A lot of people give up on using these things entirely and figure that if they're going to say anything sensitive, they're going to use a server. They're either going to resort to pen and paper. Well, that has limitations too.
So this article, this story is related. I mean, this topic is a story based on a story in Forbes magazine titled Why Using Social Media is a Thing of the Past.
Now, just a couple years ago.
Posted on the Boomer Tech report site.
Early adopters jumped on the bandwagon because this was how you got to the connected, the hip. The social media was the way to do things. Now... marketers are discovering that that a lot of people, especially with the Facebook turnaway, you know, people have lost confidence in their social media for really good purpose.
Good reasons, yeah.
Now, I still have, by the way, I'll relate my experience again with, I have a few people who insist on trying to contact me via Facebook Messenger. Okay. So I tried putting Messenger on my phone. And I had it on, I had it on there for like 3 days, and I said, no way. Oddly enough, now my Galaxy Note 8, and this has to do with the way that Facebook Messenger checks for messages, which it frequently interrupts what the phone is doing, say, hey, any messages? Hey, any messages? Hey,
you know. Right, it's like constantly, it's obsessed with checking in to see if there's any messages.
And then it checks, is there anything on the microphone? Nope, is there anything on, you know, and this eats up a ton of battery life. Facebook says they fixed it. They haven't. It's not as bad on Apple. And on my cheapy tablet, the battery life difference is not as dramatic. So I put my Facebook feed, my Facebook on my iPad and on my cheapy tablet, but not on my carry-around device, my Galaxy Note 8, because it just eats the battery.
Yep, you can, and you can turn it on and off. I mean, you can go check on it. It'll save messages for you. So what is it? Why is social media, according to this article, a thing of the past? Well, it has to do with consumer habits, basically. It used to be, you know, oh, you were going to have all these ads and this and that. 77% of marketers, it says here, rely on at least one dedicated social media platform, but less than half generate much in the way of commerce, you know, money, et cetera, from this strategy. So what's happened is millennials and Gen Z folks especially are really tired of having brands targeted in their social media feeds, and so they've just shut them off.
Yeah. Now, this is the lubricant, if you will. It's what pays for all this, quote, free stuff.
Right.
But so many people's tried shoving so many messages into the same space that the consumers got tired of it, said, I don't even, you know, shut off the damn noise. A lot of people are doing device-free days, device-free weeks, turning away from social media.
On the flip side, from the merchant's point of view or affecting the merchants, is that all these social platforms are changing the way that they operate, and so what's happening is that it's increasingly difficult for the business to get their message out there for free, and the only way that folks are going to see it is if the merchant pays to have it on
Correct. The Wild West days of, just put it up on Facebook and everybody will come running, that's gone.
Or
that's
find
all
it.
Done.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it is lost in the clutter because of the sheer volume of information. We are in that Marshall McLuhan scenario of information overload. And for some of us, the only solution is to turn the darn thing off or limit our time. You could actually there's an app to limit the amount of time that you use your app.
So it's interesting, too, that consumers are becoming less social, meaning that what they're doing in terms of their connectivity is increasingly migrating from social media into aggregation, social mobilization and learning platforms. For example, people that get on sites like eBay, Amazon, maybe even Yelp, and share their reviews with other people rather than, you know, being on Facebook or something like that.
But as we talked about, there's people who get paid to plant reviews.
Well, you know, a lot of times you can figure out those.
Yeah,
you really
they're
can.
Usually badly worded.
Well, it's not. Now, they may be well written, but they're too well written, or they're contrary to everybody else's experience.
Yeah.
Doesn't really make a lot of sense.
Now, I will say that I paid a lot of attention to Facebook, not so much Twitter. Twitter was useless during the fires, but Facebook did have some use during the fires because friends of mine who had various experiences, not all of them good, were able to quickly share pictures from the event. So in that way, social media kind of helped people make the connection. But I think it's a lot different than it was just 2 or 3 years ago, the level of immersion. But certainly mobile media played a big part in, for instance, documenting the fire event, how it progressed. We have so many cameras and people with mobile devices out there that, scientifically speaking, a whole lot of data has been harvested to be able to understand the phenomena that took place during this fire event much better. And the word got out a lot faster, although people were choosing not to pay attention to the word.
Well, to some extent, perhaps that's true. I know as a consumer of marketing information, when I Google something and I see a business and all they have is a Facebook page, I'll go there maybe and take a look, but most of the time I find a Facebook page for a business very unsatisfactory.
Yeah, yeah.
It just doesn't give me what I want.
And advertisers, I know it's passé, but put your dang phone number on your website somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
I know you don't want to be bothered with a phone call.
They might have reason to call you.
If government agencies, especially lately, they don't want to pay somebody to answer the phone. They want you to contact them strictly through
the phone tree.
The electronic, you know.
Well, there's that. More and more you see that. Send us a note.
You lose the paperwork.
Right, exactly. Or not answer. I did that with a company. Oh, we want to hear from you. Please write to us. Nothing.
Yeah, it just falls into a digital black
hole.
Well,
it's like, oh, we don't want to deal with that. Goodbye. It's like, Not that when you call, you get a very good answer either. And they can't hang up on you.
And
ooh, speaking of that, I got a robocall yesterday that was very sophisticated. It was a recorded human voice that sounded like they were talking to you, and the questions they ask you are yes-no kind of questions.
Mm.
So that's very easy for a computer to handle. So when I said, are you a real person, what tripped me out was, well, yes, I'm a real person, blah, blah, blah. And I started talking over them, and they just kept going.
Yeah.
That was a bot. That was
a really good one.
A really good AI. And I started laughing and making comments. It hung up on me.
Figured out that you were onto the game.
Yeah, figured out I kind of wasn't playing the game.
End of Hour 1 for Boomer Tech Radio. Be right back after the top of the hour news with more tech news that you can use. It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road, just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, It's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. Tropical Storm Florence continues to drench the Carolinas.
The flood danger from this storm is more immediate today than when it made landfall.
That's because Florence has practically parked itself over land. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper.
We face walls of water at our coast, along our rivers, across farmland.
The areas under threat extend all the way to the mountains of western North Carolina. But back near the coast, Jacksonville resident Art Ferrero is not out of danger yet either.
My yard is completely flooded. You can see where the water is right now. If it actually comes any higher to where we're standing, the water will be inside the house.
I'm Ben Thomas.
Authorities in North Carolina are reporting two more weather-related deaths, bringing the storm's death toll to seven. Basketball great Michael Jordan, the Charlotte Hornets, and the NBA have teamed up to help with hurricane relief efforts.
Michael Jordan is a native of North Carolina, raised just a few miles from the coast in Wilmington, which took a direct hit from Hurricane Florence. He's working with a number of community organizations such as the American Red Cross, Second Harvest Food Bank, and Foundation for the Carolinas. Log on to cares.nba.com to donate and for direct links to those organizations affiliated with the drive. Val Dior reporting.
Authorities say a U.S. Customs and Border Protection agent in Texas has been arrested on suspicion of having killed four women and abducted a fifth. The sheriff in Webb County says the agent was arrested early this morning. Police were led to the man after a woman he tried to kidnap escaped. The Trump administration is blasting former Secretary of State John Kerry, who has revealed meeting several times with Iran's foreign secretary. President Trump calls the meetings illegal. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Pat Boone here again, and I assure you, I have never before endorsed a pain relief product. Not until now. Not until Relief Factor came along as a 100% drug-free solution for people struggling with ordinary pain. Quite simply, Relief Factor was designed by doctors to help relieve those occasional aches and pains due to aging, exercise, and everyday living. Let me ask you, are aches and pains keeping you from sleeping through the night? Or keeping you from taking those nice long walks or playing golf or tennis? You can't really call it living if you can't get around comfortably. The 3-week quick start from Relief Factor may be all you need to lower or even eliminate these pains. A whole lot of people have already gone to ReliefFactor.com, and here's something you need to know. The majority of people who order the 3-week quick start, now only $19.95, go on to order more. Let's see if we can get you out of pain, too. Go to ReliefFactor.com.
Investigators in Massachusetts are trying to pinpoint the cause of a series of fiery natural gas explosions that took place in three Boston suburbs on Thursday. Bill Akeley with Eversource Energy says it will be some time before residents have gas service restored to their homes.
We're talking weeks. We are talking weeks. And we are looking for every opportunity to expedite that as fast as possible, but we will not sacrifice public safety nor do anything to risk the integrity of this system.
The gas explosions left dozens of homes in smoldering ruins. It killed a teen driver in his car and injured at least 25 others. The Massachusetts Emergency Management Agency blamed the fires on gas lines that had become overpressurized, but said investigators from the NTSB are still examining what happened. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Greg Clugston. The luxury retailer Henri Bendel, which opened its doors in New York's Greenwich Village at the end of the 19th century, is closing. Here's Bob Agnew.
Henri Bendel was a women's hat maker from Lafayette, Louisiana. He moved to New York in 1895 and began catering to the city's elite, making the store's brown and white striped shopping bags and hat boxes a coveted status symbol. In the 1960s, the store's in-house illustrator was a young artist named Andy Warhol. L Brands Incorporated, which acquired the brand in 1985, says that the 23 Bendel stores will turn out the lights in January. Bob Agnew reporting.
A man boogie boarding off a Cape Cod beach, was attacked by a shark today and died later at a hospital. It's the second shark attack in Massachusetts this year and the state's first shark attack fatality in more than 80 years. More on these stories at townhall.com.
It might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort. At 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive. Welcome back. It's hour two of Boomer Tech Radio. I'm still Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi.
Analog living in a digital world. Goodies, gadgets, and gizmos. The tech news you can use. BoomerTechRadio@gmail.com. Or go to our website, BoomerTechRadio.com, where you can download episodes of the show. Also, you can get our podcast, which is a sort of a compressed version of the show, minus all the radio commercials and news and things like that. That podcast is available on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play Radio. Or you can ask your smart device to play the Boomer Tech podcast, and it'll do it.
Amazingly.
I could tell your smart device to do it, but then you'd be mad at me, right?
Well, yeah, that's right. Don't want to put
I don't want to do a Burger King.
Yeah, exactly. That would be for a those sure of you way who to missed lose. It. Lose customers for sure.
Was it the McDonald's or Burger King? One of
Burger
the,
King.
Burger King.
It was one of the Super Bowl ads, wasn't it?
Yeah. And the guy on the
I
screen goes,
was.
"Hey, smart speaker, what is the Whopper?"
Right.
And they had edited the Wikipedia entry on the Whopper just for the ad campaign. So the speaker popped off with, "The Whopper is blah, 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 blah." The negative backlash was a sight to behold. This is not the first time, by the way, that Burger King has had a monumental fail.
I've never liked their ads anyway.
For an ad. But other companies have done similar things. Disney tried to slide an ad for one of their movies into the morning brief on the Amazon Echo. And that got a lot of backlash. People are going, "Look, if I want to find out where this movie is played." And today is the opening day for such a... People don't want that. Negative thing.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah, not everybody's plugged into these things. It was another attempt to market things to you that you don't want.
Yeah, these creative marketing things, and when they backlash, how much damage do they actually do to the brand? But people forget this stuff pretty quickly.
That was most memorable to me in the Burger King thing was about a chicken burger, the big the big blank, and if you weren't listening carefully, it could
it sounded like a cuss.
Have been the F-bomb.
Yeah.
The big...
Something chicken.
Chicken.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it was not very good, and it was like, really, people... It was
too tacky.
It was very tacky.
Well, the Carl's Jr.'s commercial with the messy burger.
Oh, yeah, but that happens to people.
It's just
so
like
that was,
softcore porn.
Yeah, well, sort of. Yeah, that's right, because in a way, right. But at least that does actually happen to people. And they don't have some guy wandering around in a plastic head looking like a
scaring the kids.
Yeah, scaring the kids. It's like, you know, if you had, what is that that you're when you're afraid of clowns?
Come on, the Burger King is a scary looking dude.
And he's fixed, his expression's fixed in
this
some
rictus smile.
Yeah,
at least the
rictus smile, that's perfect.
At least the Jack in the Box is a cartoony looking character.
Yeah.
And I love the ads where his expression does change, but oh my.
I'm sorry, I just have fun with
that. Yeah, the Burger King is a creepy looking
dude.
He
is creepy. That is creepy.
Now we called this Lexus wants to launch a way to subscribe to your car the way you subscribe to a phone. Volvo's already done this. You can lease a UX crossover for 2 years. It's called the Lexus Complete Lease. The program will launch in some markets across America during the first quarter of 2019. Motorists in Chicago, Miami, Boston, and L.A. will be able to sign up. They want to find – this is a test to see how well it works. So essentially, you don't it's different from a lease in that it's a much shorter term than a standard vehicle lease. And I guess there isn't like the lease fee at the end of it. They take the car and apparently lease it out for a couple of years, and then they turn around and resell it. Lexus designed a program to give buyers a hassle-free, all-in-one alternative to buying or leasing, bundles the cost of leasing the car, the maintenance, and a number of options,
like serious
and insurance.
Insurance?
You pay all this stuff up front, and then or that is included in your bill. In your invoicing
in
for
your,
the car.
Your subscription.
In your subscription. And the only thing you're buying is gasoline out of your pocket.
So this is interesting because, as it says here, Lexus hasn't revealed the name of its insurance partner in this program. So, and that may vary from location to location, but they probably have a universal one to begin this whole program. So subscribers are locked into the model that the program chooses for the duration of the two-year lease. You're not able to swap cars whether you want to step into a different model of car or not. They haven't said yet what happens if buyers want to opt out of the program before the end of their lease, or how many miles are associated with that, or how, you know, I'm saying how far you can go.
How many miles per year.
Yeah. And so, but in an urban setting, this may make a great deal of sense. Yeah. It's different than a car rental, probably.
Yeah, where you're...
It's paid up front.
Yeah, and this program may evolve into something like a sort of Uber-ish system where if you live in town and you don't need a car day to day, but let's say you're going to head out to you make occasional business trips, you subscribe to this thing, and for less than the cost of renting a car, because you're like on this membership thing, you hit your app on your phone, the car is delivered to your door, you hop in, make your trip, come back, drop it off back at your door, they come get the car, and then it goes to somebody else. In the meantime, they may do the maintenance and things like that. So for a certain demographic, especially in markets like in San Francisco, where a parking space rents for the cost of a house, this kind of program may make sense in reducing the number of vehicles that are just sitting on the street.
So this is kind of a car share concept, although it's a different take on it. And it'll be interesting. Car shares, as I understand it, haven't seen huge growth, but there's still a number of people that are into that, and it's successful.
I think obviously somebody damaging the car or stealing the car or doing something like that, like these scooter sharing programs, people end up stealing the darn scooters. Well, that's because you can pick them up and haul them off. Car's going to be a little tougher to do that with.
Yeah, exactly.
It's relatively easy to have a tracking device on the car.
Exactly. Just,
someone may get sold and chopped.
OnStar or the equivalent therein.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, there's that too.
But I see this coming along, again, part of that scalable transportation program for predominantly urban areas. But this would spread out into the suburbs and places too.
Very well could.
People who work at home, again, they don't need, or maybe this week they need the minivan. Next week they might just want a two-seater for a trip out. So you subscribe to a number of vehicles Meantime, the vendor is keeping these vehicles in good operating condition. They take care of the, oh, darn, did I remember to take it in for the oil change and all that? They're taking care of all that stuff.
Or you just don't have time.
Those tires are getting a little low, and you don't have time to take it in. Yes, you're going to pay a price for this, and pride of ownership of a vehicle is a great American thing. I see this catching on first over in Europe and in our urban centers before it takes hold in our neck of the woods.
Probably so. It's probably going to be a little pricey, at least at first.
Well, there's some people, but still, like I said, if you are living in an apartment,
it could be cheaper than owning
a townhome in a town. If you're already laying out how many thousands of dollars a month for a simple townhome in the city, I'll bet you your parking space
is even more.
And you only use the car a couple of times a month. It makes sense. These programs are going to make sense for those people.
It'll be interesting to see how it goes.
Pokemon Go isn't dead yet.
I might have to try just to become educated about this.
One of the most recognizable mobile games around, after an initial burst when everybody had to play this darn thing, is still around. After the initial huge burst, it's sort of on the uptick again, 35% increase in active usage since May. This is sort of like the second wave of Pokemon Go players.
Mm-hmm.
At least we don't see people walking around smashing into lampposts because they're chasing the dark
virtual creatures.
Yeah. Now, for those of you who don't know, the Pokemon game series puts it uses your phone's camera so that you're looking at your surroundings, and it superimposes on that view these targets, and you're supposed to get close enough. You're supposed to be the first one to capture these various critters for credits, and then you do some training stuff, and then you put them in tournaments, and I don't know the in and out of it because I'm not a player of one of these silly things.
Me neither. But
it's a gigantic time suck.
Oh, probably, but apparently it's entertaining enough to a whole lot of people that they've kind of revised it, and one of the biggest reasons that there's been this renewed interest in the game
trading
is that they finally launched a trading feature. So, and there's been a whole bunch of people connected, friend connections there, and it says here that people sent 2.2 billion gifts to friends since this feature came online. So I'm wondering, whatever those gifts are, they must be electronic or virtual.
Well, there's like the digital cat breeding program.
You raise
these cats to have particular, and rare cats have a value. Can you say tulip craze? And people trade them back and forth, in some cases for actual money. It's like some people will spend a lot of money in these virtual world games, significant amounts, because they want something that is unique, but it doesn't really exist. So it doesn't take up any space, doesn't poop on the carpet.
Need to go to the vet.
Or whatever. As we just discovered today, have to go to the vet. Yes.
Yeah.
Microchipped our critters today. That was interesting. Yeah, that's an interesting technology.
Yep, interesting. I'm not a Pokemon person.
Oh, wrong generation.
There's that. But apparently trading monsters is an integral part of the Pokemon experience, existence, world, what have you. So apparently adding that feature is attracted people back to the game.
Yeah. There we do. Now, hopefully we don't have people driving off into the bushes because they're chasing the darn thing down the street.
Hopefully not.
I'm going to skip the thing. I've heard too much about Facebook and partisanship. I'm sorry. I pull these stories ahead of the show because they look vaguely interesting. And then I look at the story and I go, you know what? This drum has been beaten far too many times. We may come back to that. Partisan war over fact-checking, putting pressure on Facebook. One of the problems that I have, and I love Flipboard. One of the problems I have with Flipboard, though, is it leans so far to the left, it's ready to fall over. come on, guys, a little balance here,
That's because you have a journalism background that's old school.
It's Silicon Valley generation, whatever the hell it is. I know I sound old. Here's a story I can kind of get my teeth into because this is more and more becoming a thing. If you're in the outlying areas and you're out of range of cable or DSL or U-verse or whatever, your options get kind of limited. Verizon is planning to launch a 5G home internet service in October. And it says these speeds are going to be in line with a fiber connection. Verizon 5G Home, the service launches in select markets, including Houston, L.A., Indianapolis, and Sacramento. How about that? You can order the service. You get YouTube TV, Apple TV 4K, or Google Chromecast, and free installation. The 5G
and
mobile
equipment.
And equipment. The 5G home subscribers also get first choice on purchasing new 5G mobile devices when they hit the market, which isn't for a while yet.
So this is
locking in the customers.
Right, they're doing that. But this concept, this idea, is just a variation on a theme of a DVR.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's exactly what that sounds like.
Yep.
You get installation, free equipment, you know, and then
on the satellite service, yeah.
You get the satellite, you know, yeah, on the satellite service, you get all of that with a DVR. So this is really no different.
Yeah.
The device does different things, but it's the same concept. And then they lock you into some 2-year contract that the price goes up outrageously in the end of the 2 years, and you can't ever be, you know, like, if you're a loyal customer, they don't care. You know, I mean, are they using that same business model, I wonder? It doesn't say here. It
doesn't say.
But just the whole idea of this, you know, it's just a marketing thing, how to have the latest, greatest. And you can very quickly get addicted to faster speeds. There is no question about that.
So let's look at the speeds. Our DSL service at our house, our old DSL service was about 6 megabits a second. You couldn't watch movies at that speed. It was very frustrating. Then we went with a wireless service for a time that was giving us around 12 megabits a second, which we could watch movies on that, but it was rather expensive. AT&T U-verse finally got into our neighborhood, and they're giving us 18 to 20 megabits a second. That's not bad, but...
look at fiber connection, that is.
Yeah.
Say your cable internet.
Yeah, now your cable internet is going to get you, I think Charter's been advertising 60 megabits a second, which is pretty good. It'll download a page pretty fast. But check this out. Verizon says 5G home subscribers will get average network speeds of around 300 megabits a second. That's just like fiber speed. Peak speeds nearly a gig and no data caps.
So the thing about this, if you think about this, you go, how can it handle that kind of bandwidth where people are going to start download movies? Well, we already do. Are we going to do more than we've done before? So if you have it that fast, you get the information through faster, you can get more information through in the same, kind of the same highway, if you will.
Right.
Does that make sense, what I'm trying to say?
It does. So what Verizon's going to do, and this is what I've been saying these carriers need to do, for as long as we've been doing this show, they're investing heavily in their fiber backbones to neighborhood nodes, and then they spread out from the fiber backbone on a series of daisy-chained small pole-mounted. So rather than having to put up a big cell tower,
right?
These things are tiny. They actually fit on top of a telephone pole, and they daisy-chain down the line. Now, each link in the chain, you lose a little bit of speed, but that's the same thing that happens with cable or DSL. The more people who are on that line, the slower it gets.
Right.
This is going to be a fair distance down the line before you lose enough speed, and I imagine that there'll be some kind of tiered pricing.
And then they put a booster in or something like
right.
that.
Right. So these small cells, most of which can be powered by a solar array, will be deployed out over a large area. And then this all requires what's called millimeter wave bands. That's the only spectrum with that kind of bandwidth to be able to get full 5G potential and to be able to move that much data that quickly. So these speeds, you can be able to bring your movie. Right now, you can kind of, if you're around 20 megabits a second. You can watch a pretty high-quality movie, say on Netflix or Amazon or whatever, in real time. It buffers for about 10, 15 seconds. This is going to download the whole movie in that 10 or 15 seconds.
Amazing. Yeah, and so you can download a lot more movies in the same time it takes you to, you know, watch a portion of one now. That's crazy stuff.
You gotta hand it to Microsoft. They first thing they do, of course, is they've been trying to push everybody onto Bing search engine because they want those dollars that Google is getting. In the latest one, and right now, when you fire up your new computer, Microsoft spends a great deal of screen time telling you how the Edge browser is so much superior, so much more secure, so much faster than everything else. Don't install any device. Use our browser. Now, it's not necessarily that they get anything out of you using their browser. It's because their browser is going to lock you into the Bing search engine, and that's the income.
Right. That's the whole thing. And I'm vigorously shaking my head. No, that is not true. So in this article on Boomer Tech Flipboard page comes from ZDNet, and I have to read this directly because it's just so well put. I'm going to add the sarcasm and font here to what's written here.
I need a sarcasm font, yes.
In a new test build for an upcoming Windows 10 feature update, Microsoft appears to be testing a warning dialog box that will discourage users from installing third-party browsers like Firefox, Google, etc. The feedback has been less than kind.
Exactly. And they have tried this over and over
it's
again.
It's like, no, that will be an epic fail for Microsoft. That is not a good idea. And I don't think anybody, but maybe Microsoft, would be happy with that.
Yeah. So, and if you want to get rid of that warning, I love it. Warning, danger, Will Robinson. You have to go to your settings, and most people don't want to monkey around with the settings. They want to put Chrome or Firefox or Opera or whatever browser in and be done with it.
There's some feedback from the company that says, no, that's not true. So. We'll see.
It's not a bug. It's a feature.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, my goodness. And it's like, yeah. You know, I don't know. Firefox used to be really good, but I'm not sure I'm as much a fan of Firefox. Some things just don't work real well with that. But, you know, I just think that people are not going to be happy with that.
Mm. It looks like after people went up in arms and said, wait a minute, hold on. Microsoft is apparently rolling back the warnings.
Apparently, this was an inside test, and you know they hadn't put it out there for the general public to test or whatever their focus group is. I'll use that phrase, but hopefully they listen to the folks that have had this reaction so far and do not put that out there. If they do that, oh man. The way the guy that writes this article says, personally, I hope this terrible idea gets swept into the recycle bin and permanently deleted. So that's a great way to put it.
There was a sidebar article on that that I wanted to look at. Unfortunately, it's strictly a video. Microsoft to offer paid Windows 7 extended security updates, because a lot of software, including the software that we use to run our new automation system, won't work on Windows 10. And the reason is, with a radio automation system, you really don't want the Windows 10 computer stopping everything in its tracks and running an update in the middle of the night and freezing up the computer if the update goes bad. So we have Windows 7, which is due to stop being updated in January 2020. But apparently Windows is understanding, just as they did for the military, that some people are going to need to use Windows 7, and everybody on the planet can't be using Windows 10 for various reasons, because all this stuff becomes obsolete. So, but they could change their mind again. So anyway, We got one more segment coming up. By the way, you want to get in touch with us here at BoomerTech Radio, boomertechradio@gmail.com, or you can hop on the webpage and leave comments right there at boomertechradio.com. We are going to break for our bottom of the hour and then back with one more segment right here on Boomer Tech Radio. Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information. Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading, on the web at AdvancedAutoReading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneview. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
Shasta Regional Medical Center is located in the heart of downtown Reading and was the recipient of the 2017 HealthGrades Patient Safety and Excellence Award. Our hospital is committed to always providing exceptional care and performance as a certified chest pain center, certified primary stroke center, and most recently earning the Joint Commission's Gold Seal of Approval for hip and knee replacement. When it comes to quality, compassion, and community, Shasta Regional Medical Center is the community choice.
This is Diane Hawks with the Address Realty and KCNR. I've been racking my brain trying to figure out how I could be of assistance to some of the car fire victims. So, I would like to donate 25% of my commissions to four families who have lost their homes in this horrific fire and wish to relocate in Shasta County. Even if you haven't yet received your settlement, you could call me now to reserve your commissions. Call Diane at 530-227-6401.
Reading Kia on Cypress Avenue in Reading, home of wonderful cars and SUVs at great prices. All new Kias come with a world-famous 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Exciting cars, performance cars, and sport utility vehicles that are built to last. We know this to be true. We own Kias, and we love them. Take a test drive in a new 2018 Kia Optima, 2018 Kia Niro, 2018 Kia Rio, 2018 Kia Soul, or a 2019 all-wheel drive Kia Sorento. Make a great deal and drive home happy. And if you're looking for affordable financing, Reading Kia is confident their wide-ranging resources and commitment to integrity will satisfy your needs and make you a customer for life. Reading Kia will do everything necessary to make your car buying experience the best you've ever had. So visit ReadingKia.com, then come into Northern California's Kia headquarters. Reading Kia, Cypress Avenue in Reading, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, ReadingKia.com.
KCNR 1460, your town hall of the Shasta County airwaves with news and talk that matters to our community. Weekdays 9 to noon, The Laura Ingram Show, your healthy radio addiction. Dave Ramsey from noon to 3, celebrating 25 years of answering life's tough money questions. And 3 to 6, Drive Home with Mark Levin, one of America's most popular conservative commentators and constitutional expert. KCNR 1460 with you throughout the day on your radio or streaming live. Miss a day, miss a lot. It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often, waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423. Boomer Tech Radio is sponsored by Advanced Automotive of Reading. Safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 530-244-4423. And we want to thank our fine sponsors there. The theme music is 8-Bit Junkie. It is composed and performed by George Wood. Used by permission off the PodSafe Music Network. By the way, this coming week, you wouldn't really call it a holiday. You know, there's so many. Every day is World Something or National Something Day. Usually several something.
Oh yeah, you can Google that every day. There's something going on. You know, there's probably National
Chicken
Apple
Pot.
Pie. Yeah, yeah, Chicken Pot Pie Day. I think there's a Corn Dog Day.
Yeah.
There's a Hot Dog Day. Probably a Chili Dog Day.
There's a day for everything.
Several. True.
They've only got 365 of them to choose from, and some of the good ones are already taken.
Well, and there's, obviously Mother's Day, Father's Day, Secretary's Day.
The great holidays.
Those kind of, in the great holidays. But these are, commemorating the undesignated holidays.
But one of my favorites coming up this week.
Yes.
In the week ahead. Our matey it be talked like a pirate day.
Ahoy, how are thee?
This is something that was started by a couple of guys in a video, I think. You may have to look up the origins of talk like a pirate day.
I'll do that.
While you're doing that, I wanted to mention, we got a call here at the radio station earlier this week about yet another scam. This one claiming to be from Publishers Clearinghouse.
Oh, boy.
And the deal here is that they gave you a phone number, and they answer the phone, Publishers Clearinghouse, and they claim to be the actual magazine, and they have the background noise going up, probably a loop tape, and they go through all this stuff. The red flag on the whole thing was, well, you've won this, and I think it was like $5 million second prize, but you have to pay the federal taxes ahead of time. Send us the money and we'll pay them for you.
I don't think so.
Yeah. You should never, ever be asked in advance to pay money to collect a prize. That's an immediate red flag. That something is very fishy. The government wants to collect money from you. They're going to come and get it, or they will take it right out of the check when it's being mailed to you. You do not ever have to send in money to collect your winnings. Never. But that's just another variation on an age-old scam, and they target, of course, the older population. So if you get the thing from Publishers Clearinghouse, and it's like Brenda said, some of these calls now, it's a robot or a computer, actually. But it's so convincing that you would swear that it's an authentic person.
Well, it's obvious that it is a real person talking, because you can tell the difference between
a synthesized voice,
good AI synthesized voice, and a real one. You can tell the difference. This is great stuff. Okay, so I Googled, origins of Talk Like a Pirate Day, and Wikipedia has a great discussion. I got to read this because it's hard to summarize. International Talk Like a Pirate Day is what they call a parodic holiday. I think I'm saying that right, where it's a parody of something.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where that happened. It was created in 1995 by Old Chum Bucket and Captain Slappy, two guys in Albany, Oregon, who proclaimed September 19th each year as the day when everyone in the world should talk like a pirate. Observers of this day should greet people instead of hello, everyone, or hello, say ahoy, ahoy mateys.
Ahoy, matey.
Ahoy, me hearties. The holiday and its observance springs from a romanticized view of the golden age of piracy, of course, which is, you know, I'm surprised somebody hasn't taken offense to this. But anyway, according to one of the founders, the day is the only known holiday to come into being as a result of a sports injury during a racquetball game between the two. One of them reacted to the pain of with an outburst of "Arr!" and the idea was born. So,
from such humble beginnings.
Right. The game took place on June 6, 1995, but out of respect to the observance of Normandy landings, they chose Summer's ex-wife's birthday as it would be easy for him to remember. So how do you go from this thing having fun? And there are Talk Like a Pirate Day parties all over the world.
Oh, there's songs.
Songs and all kinds of things, right? So at first it was an inside joke between the two, but the idea gained exposure when the two of them sent a letter about their invented holiday to American syndicated humor columnist Dave Barry.
Oh, yes, Dave Barry's
stuff, you know, they shoot canoes or something like that in some of his books. He's very funny. And this was back in 2002.
Oh, no, that was Michael McManus, who was another humorist.
Oh yeah, that's right. That was McManus.
Dave Barry's
still got his own funny stuff. Yeah. They're kind of a type, very similar. So they went from this event being developed in 1995 to forward this now to Dave Barry in 2002, who liked the idea so much that he promoted it and later appeared in a cameo of the originator's Drunken Sailor sing-along a go-go video, whatever that is. I'll have to check on that. Mm. And then media coverage of the holiday spread after Barry's column got it going, and it's now celebrated internationally. And the two of them now sell books and T-shirts related to the theme on their website. It's you know, part of the success, it says here, the international spread of the holiday has been attributed to a non-restriction of the idea or non-trademarking, in effect, creating a holiday that's open for creativity and viral growth. And it could be whatever you want. You know, it's not like Mother's Day, you have to buy the chocolates and the flowers and take her out to breakfast or something like that.
They didn't copyright the idea.
So they kind of played on the popularity of things from Robert Louis Stevenson's The Treasure Island, about peg legs and parrots and treasure maps and all of those, you know, romanticized things about pirates.
Surprised Disney didn't sue them. Well, they'll lock on all things pirate. Thank you very much. Our legal team will be in touch.
So, Talk Like a Pirate Day is celebrated with hidden, what they call Easter egg features in many games and websites. And, of course, Facebook introduced the pirate translated version of its website in Talk Like a Pirate Day in 2008. And it's just kind of gone in all these different directions, you know. And if you look up pirate movies, to me, I think in the state of Michigan, it's an officially recognized occasion. But I think my favorite
probably a Youper thing.
It might be. I'm not sure. But my favorite pirate scene is in Pirates of the Caribbean. I think it's the first one when the girl is, you know, she stows away on the ship and they actually catch her. And she's put before Captain Barbossa.
Yes, under the pirate code.
Yeah, under the pirate code, and then you know goes on, and she declares the right of parley under the pirate code, and Barbossa goes, "Oh well, I don't know so much as those are rules as guidelines."
The dialogue in the movie is pretty
great.
Like I said, Disney's probably sent an injunction letter to these guys.
Probably. What can you say, right?
If you have a Galaxy Note 8 and you haven't just had to run right out and buy a Note 9 and you like the Note series, your Note 8, it should be getting a new feature pretty soon. Now, this has not been officially announced. Some Note 8 users claim to be getting an update that includes artificial reality emoji and super slow motion video. Now, these features that were previously only found on the 2019 flagships, now this has not been confirmed.
Augmented reality.
Augmented reality, yeah.
I thought you said artificial reality. Yeah. But then again, you know, really, that's not a bad, what do you call those, malapropisms or something? What do you call those?
Augmented reality, yes.
I call those Freudian slips, even though they're not really
augmented
Freudian.
Augmented reality emoji. For the people who really have to, you know, take a picture of themselves with ears or something.
I was just making sure that I heard what you said and didn't, you know, invent what you said in my ear. So
you can...
I like that, artificial reality. Yeah, that's good.
Samsung is rolling out. Now, this will take time to roll out across the spectrum. Now, notice you remember that, of course, the Oreo update to our Note 8 devices was fairly because the manufacturer, unlike Apple, these updates are staggered out through the different carriers. Verizon will happen at one point in time. T-Mobile will happen at one point in time. AT&T will happen at another point in time because all of these updates have to filter through the manufacturers.
So the emoji, AR emoji, allows users to create animated emojis based on their own facial features.
Right, okay.
Which, of course, you can then share on social media or in messages. And then the super slow motion video.
Oh, this is kind of neat.
Is said, you know, that the frame rates.
960 frames a second instead of 30.
Right. So that's kind of interesting to see what would happen with that. Going to have an SD card in your device. But here's the
thing.
That's
going to generate a big video file very fast.
Yeah, very quickly. So here's the thing that I really like about this, that Samsung has been bringing those features to its newest from its newest devices to the previous generation. And the reason being is that Samsung is doing, you know, obviously realized that this is a good thing because it's it'll help keep the slightly older devices relevant, and we were just talking about that at the beginning of last hour about Apple's new phone being $1,200, and who can afford that or who wants to afford that when they just bought, you know, the previous generation a couple of years ago. It's not even paid for yet.
Right.
That's sort of like, you know, buying a car and then selling it before you've paid it off, which, of course, is a possibility. But, you know, my Galaxy Note 8 is so capable that I don't even use it as much as I should. I'm getting to where I use it a little bit more, but it's taken me a long time, and I've had it for over a year now, I think, just. It takes time to go in there and look at all these things. I wasn't born and raised, you know, like kids these days with electronic devices.
Kids these days.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, our parents said didn't have television.
Or the telephone.
Right. Yeah, well, yeah, some didn't even have the telephone.
There were predictions, and I've mentioned this before. People talk about, well, I don't need this, I don't need that. There were predictions when the telephone was introduced that Mr. Alexander Graham Bell's invention would destroy the social fabric because no longer would people want to venture out of their homes and meet other people. The telephone would destroy society. There were predictions that Mr. Graham's other famous device, the gramophone, would put musicians out of work because why on earth would people wish to venture out of their homes and go see live musicians when they could hear the music at home? Well, we know that's a bunch of nonsense.
Right. But is it live or is it Memorex?
Yeah. You know?
Live, there's something to be said for the live experience.
It was said that the VCR would completely collapse the film industry because nobody would want
to
leave their home
and
go to the movie theater.
Nothing could be further from the truth.
Movie theaters are doing just fine, thank you very much. We still, a couple of times a year, go out and see some movie or other because we enjoy the immersive experience and the fact that the sound system has cost more than my house.
Well, yeah, right? That's not one you can put in the house.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You can't if you want to be keep peaceful with your neighbors, you can't.
Well, yeah, there's that.
Can't have a sound system that does that kind of stuff.
It's off seismograph somewhere.
Yeah, I got to tell you that theater promo for the what is the system that they have in the theaters around XTS or whatever it is.
THX.
With the unicorns.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the sound blast. I mean, it's right on the edge of the threshold of pain. But it's a funny promo.
I love that with the unicorn.
The XD system or something like that. XD,
unicorns.
Yeah, Extreme Digital.
Yeah, Extreme Digital. It's pretty funny. I'm sure most people have seen that if you've been in a movie theater.
SpaceX has said that they, now this, of course, is Elon Musk's company. SpaceX says somebody has signed up to fly on the company's new rocket, the BFR.
I'm sorry, that's very funny.
passenger.
I'll give SpaceX.
We don't make this stuff up.
No, I'll give SpaceX.
It's like the boring company.
Yes.
You know?
I'll give SpaceX this. They do have a sense of humor.
Oh, man.
And I guess it is big.
A passenger will fly on the monster ship around the moon. No details on when this is going to happen. What could possibly go wrong here? SpaceX says it will announce who is taking the trip on Monday the 17th. The big Falcon rocket. Pronounce that carefully.
Mm-hmm.
The giant rocket SpaceX developing to send humans to the moon and Mars. The design was presented by CEO Elon Musk last year. It's a combined rocket and spaceship called the BFS for Big Falcon Spaceship. Main rocket will have 31 main engines and will send up to 150 tons to low Earth orbit. In February last year, SpaceX said they were going to send two passengers around the moon on the Falcon Heavy rocket, claiming the flight would happen at the end of this year. That, of course, did not happen.
Probably isn't going to, yes. We're not to the end of the year yet, but it does not look likely that that will happen. Doesn't say how much the person paid for this.
It's been hinted that the customer might be from Japan. SpaceX says they will give more details on Monday. They have set up a live stream for the announcement.
Maybe they'll see Elon Musk's Tesla out there somewhere.
Yeah. both the big Falcon rocket and the Falcon spaceship are reusable. This is the big thing about when
it's
we
amazing.
Sent the Apollo astronauts on their merry way almost 50 years ago. It will be 50 years next year.
Isn't that amazing? I'm feeling old.
What we got back was three guys in a can smaller than a camper.
Pretty much.
After launching a Saturn V rocket with all the associated hardware and throwing away how many millions of dollars worth of this and that
not
along the trip.
Or it burned out.
Just to get the can back.
Yeah.
With people alive, which is a hell of a feat for 1960s technology.
Phenomenal. The engineering was just amazing.
And I'm sorry, if you say that it didn't happen, you're an idiot. No offense.
I'm sorry, that's usually my line, and I don't put it on the air, but...
I had somebody try to convince me, and I was like, really?
Yeah.
You know, go back into your tinfoil line. Bunker.
I don't know, but that's okay. There's, I guess, still the Flat Earth Society, so.
Yeah.
It takes all kinds.
Another use of this system is actually point-to-point travel. Now, we've heard about, you know, suborbital flights to get people across from one side of the globe to the other in an extremely fast way. If you just positively have to be there overnight or in a couple of hours, suborbital flight. Now, this is an idea that's been around for a long time, too. Musk noted last year that the ultimate goal is to transition SpaceX's focus from the company's current line of vehicles, including the Falcon 9, the Falcon Heavy, and the Dragon, all over to the big Falcon rocket. But...
You gotta love that. I had a coworker. Well, just a coworker. I was in a different office, same next door office, and he had a big Ford four-wheel drive pickup with a little bit of a lift kit on it, and the personal license plate was BFT.
Yeah.
And I said, "What's that stand for?" You know, blah blah blah. And he goes, "Yep, exactly." It's pretty crazy.
Yep. A bug has appeared on some Galaxy devices, on Android devices, that has essentially disabled glide typing. Now, if you don't know what glide typing is, it's kind of handy. I do it on my Note 8 all the time. It's where instead of tapping on the letter keys, you actually hold your finger down and move from letter to letter. And based on the pattern, as you move from letter to letter, the phone guesses the most likely word that you're trying to type out. And it's actually quite accurate. Have you used that, typing?
Yeah. Yeah, it is faster than
you can
tapping.
Be really fast.
Faster than the tapping out the letters.
Sometimes the suggestions are a little strange, but as you build a sentence, based on the content of the sentence, it actually starts anticipating what your next word is going to be. But apparently a bug developed in the G board, the Google board, that was causing some inaccuracy. Google says that they are aware of the problem. They are working on a fix. In the meantime, force quitting the G board application or rebooting the phone may solve the problem.
And it seems to be hit and miss. It's not like universal. Not everyone is having this problem, so who knows where it is. It doesn't seem to be a malware thing or anything like that, from what this article indicates. It's more through the app itself having some kind of code in it that's a problem.
Yep. So it may be that if you do a reboot, the problem may self-resolve. Now, last night, we were watching a movie. Actually, we're watching the series Last Ship. I know we're several years behind everybody else on the planet on these things.
It takes us a while to get around to these things. Besides that way we don't waste our time watching stuff that's not good.
And the show quit, and the show kept hanging up and going into the little loopy thing.
And then when it did start again,
it would start back at the beginning.
Very beginning of the show.
So about the fifth time this happened, I said, all right. So when this starts happening, when your network really starts wonking up, unplug it all. From your router all the way down to your end device, whether it be your tablet or your smartphone or your television or whatever.
Right. So where your connection comes in to from your ISP, your internet service provider.
Yep.
All the way to whatever it is you're using to display that.
Unplug everything and then make yourself a drink. Make yourself a sandwich.
Make yourself a beverage of choice.
Do some activity that takes about 10 minutes.
Pet the dog.
Yeah.
Take the dog for a walk.
Yeah. Take the dog out for a walk. I think that's what I did, in fact. And then, after about 10 minutes, and what you're doing is you're giving time for the memories inside your router to run out of juice and reset.
Right.
If you just unplug and plug it back in, it'll restore to the same settings it had. Obviously, there's something wrong with your settings. This is the first thing you should always try when your network slows way, way down.
It is simple.
Yeah. So when you plug stuff back in, it's going to be a frustrating amount of time for your network to come back up. But everything should be.
Usually solves
the problem. 9 times out of 10, it fixes the problem. And what's happening, of course, is that as we add more stuff to our in-home networks with the Internet of Things, the address tables, this is like the index cards that your router uses to figure out what packet of data goes where,
get
scrambled up.
Yeah.
So.
The thing is, if that does not solve the problem, on rare occasion, it's actually your ISP, your internet service provider, that has the problem. It's a network failure.
But try the reset first. Just like with your PC, always try a restart first before you start panicking and installing stuff and all that.
Hit the easy button.
Hit the easy button. Boomer Tech Radio, wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe and be good to each other. It might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school, Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort, at 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.